Good Gulf program featuring Al Goodman's orchestra, the Revelers, and Will Rogers.
Good evening, everybody. The makers of that Good Gulf gasoline and motor oils have appointed me toastmaster of this regular Sunday evening get-together. In their behalf, I'd like to invite you all to a new kind of banquet. A banquet given for countless thousands of motorists in every part of the country. Every Sunday night at this time, please consider yourselves the guests of the 40,000 Gulf dealers. They welcome you to an unusual and satisfying feast. Not of food, which you can get at any banquet, but of the music of Al Goodman's orchestra, the singing of the revelers, and a few words from Will Rogers.
I guess our next bit of entertainment needs no introduction to me. You all know the revelers, and in honor of Will Rogers, America's favorite cowboy, they're going to sing an old cowboy number, the Old Chisholm Trail.
Come along, boys, and listen to my tale. I'll tell you all my troubles on the Old Chisholm Trail. Gonna die, yuppie, yuppie, yay, yuppie, yay. Gonna die, yuppie, yuppie, yay. On a $10 horse and a $40 saddle, I'm going to punch in Texas cattle. Thomas I, yuppie, yuppie, yay, yuppie, yay. Thomas I, yuppie, yay.
Cloudy in the west, looking like rain, but darn those flickers in the wagon again.
Summer high, yuppie, yuppie, yay, yuppie, yay. Summer high, yuppie, yuppie, yay.
Bacon and beans, most every day, I'd sooner be eating prairie hay.
Tomatai, yuppie, yuppie, yay, yuppie, yay. Tomatai, yuppie, yuppie, yay. I'll sell my outfit as soon as I can, and I won't punch cattle for an old darn man. Promise I, yuppie, 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 promise I, yuppie, yuppie, yuppie.
Now we come to the feature of our Sunday night Good Gulf Banquet. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Will Rogers.
We got quite a bunch of notables in here tonight on account of it being free. That one thing depression has done, it's made all free entertainment popular. Roosevelt, he's working all the time and thinking about everything here. Here we got to, he found that these New Yorkers here had been hoarding some daylight, and he held them up and took an hour away from them today. That's all switched around here now. Got quite a few. I'm glad the show's back that they didn't introduce me as a humorist. Sometimes one of them has some humor and he calls me humorist, because sitting right down here in front of me with one of the biggest rosebuds on his lapel is that Irvin Carr. It is your trouble if he'd introduce me as a humorist before Irvin, because Mr. Irvin Cobb, I consider our greatest humorist, and when they remove the mantle of some future time, our historian, from Mr. Mark Twain, they won't have to take it very far, just from the Mississippi River right over to Paducah on the Ohio, that's all. Right over there. And I'm sure that Twain would not be jealous of the mantle, but he would have dispatched and this rosebud that she has on him. I have Mr. Amon Carter of Fort... I don't know how a lot of these guys got in here. Lee Orwell and Amon Carter. Got Mr. Walter Winchell here, who I understand is responsible for really this present day, which I'm going to talk on if I ever get to it here. Present day, Walter originated the idea, and I want to thank him for it. It's a very lovely idea. Mr. Walter Winchell, as you all know, is the maternity prophet of New York. Mrs. Rogers is back here with me, and I hope he predicts nothing, you know, along our line, because his predictions come true. Young married people often go to him to ask him if there's any blessed event in the horizon. Boys, you heard that fine band. Wasn't that a lovely band? And I noticed them, that's the only radio band I ever saw that played from music. They had notes. You know, and could play from the notes. Most of them just hear something and then remember it as good as they can. The Revelers, I want to pay my compliments to. I haven't seen them since they're way down on the tour in the South. I spent 3 weeks down there one time. They gave their services and done some splendid work. That's the greatest quartet in the world, is the Revelers. They're not only a quartet, but it's four to sing. It can sing. Now, Now, this is President's Day. We generally recognize anything by a week. We have them by week. We have apple week and potato week and don't murder your wife week and smile week with everybody going around grinning like a possum and for no reason at all. We have don't get hurt by an automobile week. So somebody hits the bright idea and they say, Winchell says, well, here, if prunes are worth a week, the president ought to be worth something anyhow. So they figured out they couldn't give him a week, but they could. They compromised on a day. Well, the reason we give him a day was he cuts down on everybody. And they says, well, he's been cutting down, so we'll just give him a day instead of a week. So that's how we're very generous that way. We're wonderful with our president. When the sun is shining, we cheer them. And let it start raining. And if they don't punish us, you know, some umbrella and some goulashes, it's punished by the government. Well, boy, we give them the boots right then. The man I'm going to try to pay a little respect here tonight, too, on account of being President's Day. We have no precedent in the accomplishments which this man has performed in the last 7 weeks is all he's been in there. That bird has done more for us in 7 weeks than we've done for ourselves in 7 years. We elected him because he was a Democrat. And now we honor him because he's a magician. He's the Houdini of Hyde Park. And maybe this Houdini of Hyde Park can't do everything. He may not get our hands out of all the handcuffs which we have foolishly stuck our mitts out and got them in through ourselves. But even if he can just get one hand loose, you know what I mean, and leave the handcuff hanging on the other, he will have accomplished a great deal. He's a fast worker. He was nominated.
I was there when he was nominated. I ought to know about that. But he was inaugurated at noon in Washington. And they started the inaugural parade down Pennsylvania Avenue, and before it got halfway down there, he closed every bank in the United States. Now, a Republican would have never thought of a thing like that. No. He'd have let the depositors close. And mind you, Mr. Roosevelt was just 2 days ahead of the depositors himself. He was there, but that shows you how fast he works. You know what? He's ahead of you all the time that way. And he went, marched on down or drove on down to the White House, and then he says, I believe I'll call up the boys. So he called up McDonald and this fellow that's come from France. He says, we can't pronounce his name. He says, come on over here. I want to talk it over with you birds. And so they've been over here. They went back smiling, but they had nothing signed. Well, anyhow, then he took the Democrats out of the unemployment ranks. And he's made postmasters out of all of them. And he's made Christians out of the Republicans. And all but Ogden Mills, my friend Ogden Mills, who made an awfully good speech last night at the Gridiron Dinner in Washington. Ogden is still, he's running around, kind of yapping around. But he's really subsidized by the Democratic Party to kind of put up the appearance of a organized minority. That's what... you'd be surprised at the hordes of Republicans who are crawling up to this shrine in Washington to pay their respects to this modern Messiah, this maverick of that once disgraced the Roosevelt plan, you know, by doing like Gandhi of Europe and joining the untouchables, the Democrats. Then only Gandhi was better off because Gandhi was fairly well robed. But when Roosevelt went into the Democratic Party, it didn't even have a loincloth at all. Well, now, when he first went in there, it looked like he wasn't going to draw any dividends. Did you notice the first part of Roosevelt's career up to a late year was spent in doing nothing but nominating Al Smith for president? He'd always nominate Al. You
be it a breakfast or a lunch or a clam bake or a horse race or even a Democratic Party where Roosevelt would nominate Al. You could wake him up in the middle of the night, I'll bet, and say, hey, wake up, and then right away, he'd ask what you wanted, he'd nominate Al, you know? And he made some fine speeches nominating Al because he was nominating a very fine man. But of course, the country wasn't ready for democracy because it wasn't broke yet. But the minute the country went broke, they put out a yell, a siren call for the old horse, you know, the old fire horse and wagon, and out it come, but not without, and the man, our hero himself, was sitting on the seat. He said to Al, says, Al, come on, give me a break this time. Let me have a crack at him. And, boy, he took a crack at him. You talk about sweeping the country. Roosevelt swept the country like a new toothpaste. He went around, well, say they rushed up and voted for him just like buying tickets to some new Hollywood sex drama, you know? Oh, he was one right over. And even the Roosevelt family, who up to then had only been 8 cousins, looked up an old register and found where there was a long lost brother. Well, sir, and he does everything. He does everything real quick. Different from that. Look at the Wickersham. Wickersham worked 2 years and spent $2 million. And what did he do with his report? Turned in a report and says, now, I won't be sure. I can't get the absolute proof, but I think there's a little drinking going on around the country. And Roosevelt says, I'll do all that in just 3 words. Just give me 3 words. Says, let them drink. That's all. See? He says, let them drink, and he collected $10 million in revenue in the first 2 weeks. And if he'd had good beer, he'd have paid the national debt by now. Yes, sir, Wickersham turned in a lot of figures and a lot of statistics and things. And Al said, no, just give me 2 figures. That's all I want, and I'll show you some results. Just give me 3 and 2. Just 3 and 2%, that's all. Well, you know, commissions are fine, but they turn in always a lot of data about something that ain't so good. You know what I mean? I mean, it's bad data. They're all always investigating things that are bad, and the data is bad. Well, what's the use of having a lot of statistics and data on something that you can't do? Well, it's kind of like garbage. What's the use collecting it if you ain't got nowhere to put it? I mean, you know what to do with it. Well, that's the way with commissions. Now, Mr. Hoover, the most conscientious, fine, hard-working man I expect we've ever had in the presidency. And appointing a commission is not any crime. It's been considered a very fine way of handling anything. But it just seems like a presidential commission don't get nothing done, you know? They don't really earn the breakfast that they give them at the White House the day they appoint them. That's what they don't do, you know? And now, speaking of Mr. Hoover, I've got something I think would be of interest to you. I know it certainly was to me. The night before I left, flew back here from Los Angeles, I was talking to Mr. Harry Chandler of the Los Angeles Times. And he is a great friend of Mr. Hoover. Mr. Hoover had visited him at his ranch. And I was very anxious to know the feelings of Mr. Hoover at this time. All of us are. You know, here's this man coming here and created this sensation which was never... And you often wonder, well, now I wonder how Mr. Hoover feels going out and this man coming in and doing all this. Is he kind of sitting up there at Palo Alto and eating his heart out and kind of figuring, well, I got a bad break or this thing and that. And so everybody, and I asked Mr. Chandler, I said, Mr. Chandler, that's the way I feel. And I went, well, how is it? And he said, it is one that he told me. He said, Will, you'd be surprised. He says, a man is absolutely cheerful and feeling fine, and he's in accord with a great many of the things that Mr. Roosevelt is doing. And he says, he's just tickled to death that the country is, looks like is the pick up around, and he's pleased to death. And I know I was tickled when I heard that, and I just thought maybe you all would be too, because Mr. Chandler didn't tell it to me for any... think I was going to go blathering it around, but it was interesting to me to know, because, and we all are, because we know he did work hard for us, and we're tickled to death that he's feeling good about it. You know, those men go about things different way. Now, Mr. Hoover didn't get results because he asked Congress to do something. That's where he made a mistake. He ordered this fellow, Mr. Roosevelt, he just sends a thing up there every morning, says, here's your menu, you guys. sign it.
You know what I mean? Right here, you know? Right here it is. What are you going to order, you know? And he tells them just what they're going to have. That's what he does, you know?
Every morning he does that. All of them work different. They know how to work Congress. Now, Mr. Roosevelt, he never scolds them. You know, he kids them. That's what he does. He never scolds them, you know. Congress is really just children that's never grown up. That's all they are. And I'm looking at the watch here. I've got to see how much time. Whoa! Well, anyhow, now, Mr. Coolidge handled the thing altogether different. Now, that is a man that he handled Congress. He didn't pay no attention to him at all. He wouldn't mess with him, Congress at all. He never messed with commissions either. If the fish wasn't biting in the Columbia River and the Abyssinians wasn't practicing birth control, Hoover never, Mr. Coolidge, he never messed with him at all. He just let it go along, you know. He never cared. He knew how to handle the whole thing. Seemed funny me up here telling all this. Democratic thing, you know, any big company is owned by Republicans because Democrats ain't got nothing, you know. And so I asked these people, I said, how about it here? I'm going to get up and actually say something complimentary about the Democrats. So the teller says, well, it's all right, Will. We'd rather have been saved by a Republican, but we will take a Democrat anyhow. And says, the way it is, says, we'll be saved by anybody, you know. I mean, that's one good thing about a Republican. He'll just, he wants to get his 6 and 8%. He don't care whether it was got through Mussolini or Hitler or Sister Amy or even the kingfish Huey Long, the old Louisiana porcupine. They'll be saved by him if necessary, you know. Now, I understand, Mr. Roosevelt, somebody told me was listening in. Now, Mr. Roosevelt, we've turned everything over to you. We've given you more power than we ever give any man was ever given in the history of the world. We don't know what it's all about. We tried to run the country individually and collectively and along a democratic line, but boy, we gummed it up so you take it and run it if you want to, you know, and deflate or inflate or complicate or insulate and do anything just so you get us a dollar or two every now and again, you know? And so you're our lawyer, and we're going to turn the whole thing over. Things are moving so fast in this country now that we don't know what it's all about. The whole country's cockeyed anyhow, and we're disappointing you, and you take it. You don't know what it's all about, but God bless you.
I mean, she's hard to beat. I'm just a
type of caller. But even so, I call her my new one, my new one. Oh, how I love my new one.
How tall she's really 5'3". She's all and then some more to me.
Stays right by my side. Whenever we go out together, fills me with pride. You'll make
a lovely bride.
My little one, my little one, I'll always call her little one. Although they say there's nothing in her name.
She's considered just the same.
One little one, you never know how I adore my little one. My little one, know how I love my little one. She's just as you say.
the only five foot three. My little one, my little one, I adore that little, little one, Blinky. As far as I can see, she's all and some more too.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a young fellow here I want you to meet. He's a good Gulf Service man from the state of Virginia. Let me tell you that if you haven't seen the state of Virginia, you haven't seen anything. But I guess I better let the Gulf man here tell you about it.
Good evening, friend. I really can't say much, but I hope that you'll drive down to Virginia sometime. See, there ain't a prettier place anywhere than the Shenandoah Valley, Blue Ridge Mountains, and, well, it's all nice down our way. Anywhere, there's one thing I want to say. In Virginia or anywhere else, that good Gulf gasoline is the best there is.
Know a boy or girl who didn't love the funny paper? And did you ever notice how often the grown-ups beat the children to it? Well, as I said a few moments ago, Gulf is now getting out a weekly funny paper. It's a real comic sheet, four pages, full colors, and a picture of Will Rogers on the back page. All you have to do to get a copy is to ask for it. Now, this week, Will Rogers is going down to Washington to find out firsthand what's really going on. So next Sunday at this same time, you'll have some more news for you.
Following selections were heard. Shine on Your Shoes from Flying Color. Let's Call It a Day and Strike Me Pink from Strike Me Pink. Night Was Made for Love and She Didn't Say Yes from The Catherine Affair. This is the National Broadcasting Company.